Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the twofer for free speech. I've said that before. It's twofer. Why? Well, because this show will probably also be on Dr. Duke's show. So if you're listening on the David Duke show, greetings. Otherwise, well, send money to RBN, lots and lots of money. Send it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. All right, so we've got Paul Stevenson with us. He's a frequent guest both on my show and on Dr. Duke's show. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Patrick. Great to be with you.
Well, it's good for you to join me. All right, we got all sorts of stuff going on today. There's lots of stuff going on. You mentioned that Tucker Carlson is trying to get an interview with Vladimir Putin. How do you think that would work out?
Yeah, that would be a really fascinating interview. I mean, of course, the Trump interview that Carson did was described as anti-American and pro-Russian and all the rest of it. So you can imagine they'll probably sort of have an absolute fit if Tucker Carlson interviewed, the most evil man in the world ever, not just in today, but historically the most evil man ever. I think I'm sure you'll agree, in Vladimir Putin.
Something like that. Now, the last American that I recall, maybe there was somebody else who interviewed Vladimir Putin, I think Megyn Kelly.
Yeah, Megyn Kelly, yeah.
Yeah, she interviewed him. And I don't know. I think Megyn Kelly was a lawyer or something before she got into broadcasting. She doesn't sound retarded, but she doesn't sound all that insightful or bright either. I mean, she's blonde.
Semi good looking.
I mean, if you really look at her carefully, her face is a little bit
weird.
Weird, yeah, non-symmetrical. There's something weird about it.
I haven't studied it that much.
Anyway, I did see that interview, and she asking him about all the journalists he killed or things like that.
It was cringe.
Yeah, it was cringe. Now, of course, Vladimir Putin wasn't public enemy number one. I don't know what year that interview was. If it was Wall Street, it was Fox News. I mean, I think she was
2018, I think it was. Or 2019, maybe.
Maybe. Okay. Might have been even earlier. I don't know. But it was a while back.
Possibly.
But it was after the so-called Maidan Revolution. Yeah. Well, anyway, I don't know if it's going to happen, but has established himself as somebody capable of getting an enormous audience for an interview. So supposedly the Trump interview got 250 million views.
I mean, that 250 million, what's the population of the United States? 240 million?
Well, it's like 300, I don't know, supposedly 330, 340. And I can't imagine that I would think a lot of those views could have been from the same people over and over again. That seems kind of inflated somehow. Obviously, it doesn't have to be only Americans who watched it. It just seems kind of inflated. But,
possibly.
It's not like I walk around in my daily life and everybody's talking about that interview. But at any rate, he can get a big audience. So, and this would be a way of Vladimir Putin talking directly to the American people. The question is, does even want to at this point? Because we're hearing that, you know, that President Brandon wants to call him. He's not accepting calls from Americans. He's not accepting calls from Macron or from Olaf Scholz. So does he even want to at this point? He's not complaining about sanctions. He's just doing his thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's quite clear why he's not talking to Biden and Macron, because he exhausted those avenues. And, you know, he reluctantly conceded that they're good for nothing but duplicity and, you know, deception and wasting his time. And so he's not going to talk to those people who are, you know, saying one thing and plotting to, you know, undermine the Russian Federation at the same time. Whereas Tucker Carlson's not in that category. First of all, right, he's not a politician.
He's not a politician, and he has been from the beginning opposed to the war. Now, his opposition to the war... His opposition to the war has never, at least publicly, been that Russia's in the right. His opposition to the war has always been that we should be taking care of our own affairs. You know, he said things like, okay, they say Vladimir Putin's is evil. Okay, well, maybe he's evil, but, you know, blah, 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 southern border. Or blah, 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 China. All we're doing is pushing Russia into an alliance with China, and whereas we should be in an alliance with Russia against China.
But don't forget... Don't forget, Carlson did an interview with Douglas McGregor, and Carlson has shifted a little bit, because McGregor has no time for this China nonsense. And, you know, he's one of those people, you know, while he's not going to be on the David Duke show, he's one of those people that doesn't, you know, do what Carlson has done. Like you said, it's like, well, maybe Putin is evil, but, you know, we've just pushed... Putin, you know, closer to our genuine ultimate enemy in China, whereas McGregor doesn't see it that way, and rightly so. So you never know, maybe McGregor has shifted Carson's thinking a little bit. We don't know what they, obviously, presumably they talk off air as well. But I would imagine, you know, McGregor's a pretty convincing sort of high dominance kind of alpha male type. And I imagine he would have some sort of influence on Carson when it comes to China. So you never know. Perhaps Carson has more sympathy for Putin and the Russian Federation than he publicly lets on. You know, we know that while Russia has still got certain corruption problems, it's not in the same league as this pristine democratic libertarian utopia that Zelensky, has been disgracefully given the platform to promote to very ignorant people in the West. Russia still has some sort of hangover left from the Soviet days, and there is still corruption there. But, you know, he's going in the right direction, I believe. And but, you know, there is a certain sort of Wild West element still in Russia. But, you know, when you try to talk to people about our situation in the West, the West is run by a bunch of criminals, and it's a criminal syndicate. But it's just, I guess it's done in a more sophisticated manner, because it's, first of all, it's largely done by Jewish oligarchs who stay behind the scenes, and it's all done in a, quote, sort of legitimate way, where they're constantly lobbying and has this veneer of democracy, but it's a facade. It's it's a more sort of presentable, sophisticated, you know, criminal syndicate, which has this kind of veil of decency and this kind of post-World War II narrative that the rest of the world bad, the West good, and it's a simple, you know, war of good against evil. And you know, I mean, that kind of narrative has been fractured over recent years when people are being honest and being honest observers, you know. But he might he might be a little bit more positive to Putin since that interview with McGregor. You know, maybe he's come down off that, oh, China stuff. And I think he has to preface things by saying, well, maybe Putin is evil and blah, 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 because he, you know, he doesn't want to go out on a limb and just say, well, maybe we're a lot more evil than Putin is and we should just mind our own business, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Tucker Carlson has been, in my estimation, he's been the leader of the anti-China crusade in the amongst conservatives. He's been pushing this anti-China stuff certainly ever since he had his he got his show, I think, in December 2016, just a month after the Trump elections, when he got his Fox News show, and he's been pushing that anti-China stuff from the beginning, and was pushing it really, really hard towards the end. So if Douglas McGregor has gotten him to calm down a little bit on that, that would be a great public service, not just an education for Tucker Carlson. But regarding Russia, I'm pretty sure, I'm not sure where Tucker Carlson went to school. I have the feeling maybe it was USC, which some people think is University of Southern California, but I've been told it's actually the University of Spoiled Children, because it's where the rich kids who grew up in Southern California go. He might have gone somewhere else, but I believe that Tucker Carlson's major in college was Russian history. I'm pretty sure it was, and that would make him very unusual amongst the American media as actually knowing something about Russia, because nobody in the American media knows anything about Russia. The ignorance is just massive, and to the extent you have an understanding of Russian history, you're going to appreciate Vladimir Putin. He's been very effective leader, a very beneficial leader for the Russian people. But there's just one other thing. So Putin does not want to talk to American or Western leaders, but you know, he's so vilified.
Understandably.
And Tucker Carlson, he would provide him with an unfiltered, a relatively unfiltered access to the American and Western public. And Vladimir Putin is so good at communicating. So one would think that he would want to take advantage of this.
I hope so. I really hope so, because this demonization, this vilification of Putin is so odious and so unnecessary. And, you know, those who do know Putin and have watched his speeches over the years, I mean, he's on point with everything. I mean, the only frustration we would have is that he doesn't acknowledge that the West is so heavily influenced by Judaism and Jewish oligarchs, and that essentially it's run by Ashkenazi Jews. He doesn't identify that, but, you know, if you're a typical conservative American, you know, the type of things that Putin is doing in Russia is the type of things that Americans are having to struggle and or be persecuted for. For example, he has now officially banned, you know, adolescent castration, essentially, which we've been promoting, this sort of whole, you know, gender ambiguity where you can go and get chemicals from your doctor to stop your breasts growing and all the rest of it. And, you know, the equivalent of the male messing around with our testosterone and chemicals. He has banned that. He's also put a stop to this aggressive promotion of homosexuality and the so-called LGBTQ, you know, alphabet obsession. And those things resonate with conservatives in the West. He's also promoting and giving tax breaks and doing what he can to promote the traditional Orthodox Church in Russia, which, of course, you know, I think it was Marek Garland or someone, probably a Jew, who said that it was intolerant for the rise of the Orthodox Church in Russia. So there's lots of things that Vladimir Putin, regardless of whether you care about Putin or the Russian Federation, there's lots of things that Vladimir Putin does that resonate with your average Republican stroke conservative stroke, you know, Christian religious voter. And so that does garner some sympathy. And also when you listen to Putin talking about our economic policies, printing up money all the time. You know, Russia has been trying to reduce its deficit. It is not relying on, you know, constantly printing up money to prop up a false economy. So there's just so many things. And like you said, he's a very eloquent, effective communicator. If he gets in front of the American people with a platform like Tucker Carlson, I can't see how Putin would see that as being detrimental. Now, you can understand there's no point talking to these other, as I say, duplicitous clowns, these puppets, like Scholz and like Macron and like Biden, who, you know, it's just an exercise in total futility. But I hope that interview happens because it could have an effect on the election. I mean, Trump, when he was in power, was reasonably, and I think reasonably so, friendly towards Putin. Why wouldn't he be? This whole narrative that Russia is an enemy, you know, it's essentially a Jewish one. You know, it's not a natural thing, you know?
Right. And, you know, Russia, it may have its own independent, well, it obviously has its own independent interest in foreign policy. And it's looking at the world from a point of view, a perspective of Russian foreign interests, as naturally it should. Although I guess we're kind of used to having satellite countries like those in Europe and East Asia that operate based on so-called American interests, which aren't even American interests. They're, global Jewish interests. But
of course.
Yeah, I mean, you were talking about this, that Vladimir Putin is actually, if he was an American, he would be the dream candidate of Republicans. You know, he would, he represents the interests in Russia that correspond with what American conservatives and American Republicans have been saying that they want for you know, a generation. So he's,
yeah,
pro-family. Economic management is very conservative and very successful. So he really could break through to American people, I think. Tucker Carlson,
well,
I was just going to say, I think Putin could do extremely well in the interview. Tucker Carlson might ruin his career. Yeah.
He's already had Douglas McGregor on. That's as close as you're going to get to a non-Putin interview. But sharing Putin's worldview. One thing I was going to say is that there was a poll done over here on George Galloway's show. Now, George Galloway is openly, you know, very socialist. He was a supporter of the Soviet Union. Each to their own, I guess. There was a poll done over here, and it wasn't a particularly small poll. 20,000 people were polled.
ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Wiser than me is screaming out. It's so much bigger than me, it's screaming out.
A socialist, he was a supporter of the Soviet Union, each to their own, I guess. There was a poll done over here, and it wasn't a particularly small poll. 20,000 people were polled, and it said, and this is like largely a UK audience, but not exclusively, because, you know, Galloway's had McGregor on, and Galloway's had Scott Ritter on, people like that. So there will be an American audience there too. You know, out of 20,000 people polled, I think it was as high as 90%. The poll was, who would you prefer to be your leader, Vladimir Putin or Joe Biden? I think something like 90% said Vladimir Putin.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously, he's been effective. He's made his country better. I mean, you cannot say that that Russia is worse off now than it was in 1999, 24 years ago when Putin...
It's not worse off. It's not even worse off now than it was before all the sanctions. It's actually better off now. I mean, Putin has actually managed to not only avoid the sanctions, but to increase the standard of living for your average Russian. And part of that is because they have turned the military-industrial complex into a profitable situation for the country. So the country, being on a war footing, has provided a lot of jobs and created some wealth. And so, I mean, I don't know. I see very little to hate Vladimir Putin about it. And I think also when you hear the sort of rhetoric against the most evil man in the world, he's a maniac. I mean, this is like evidence-free analysis. Anytime you look at Putin, he's a very measured kind of a guy. More of the frustration within Russia, far from it that, you know, that he's a maniac and they got to get rid of him before he starts World War III, is that he's too soft. He's too measured. Mm-hmm. He's too conservative. You know, a lot of the Russians, they're getting very frustrated with these drone attacks going in, and they want Putin to march forward and to crush this regime in Kiev. But yet, he's presented as some sort of absolute maniac who gets up every morning just pacing up and down his bedroom thinking, how many more people can he kill today? And, you know, how can he get away with, like, something? That's how he's presented, you know? I forget what it was. Someone recently described him as, like, he's just like a salivating kind of vampire with just blood ping down to space. And it's just like, it's so Jewish. I mean, this is so true. They're constantly projecting. You know, the Jew is the ultimate vampire. He sucks everything out of your country, out of your culture, out of your people. He is a murderer. He's a liar and a thief. So they just project everything onto to anybody who resists them, basically. And, you know, Trump has now been, you know, threatened to be put in prison. Carson's vilified. And Putin's vilified. So, you have to just roll your eyes sometimes, you know.
Yeah. And the potential for this interview is that so much of Tucker Carlson's fan base or potential audience for this are people who actually could change their mind if they were ever exposed to any accurate information. And when Tucker Carlson had his own show, like I said, to the extent he was opposed to the war, but he never actually took the Russian side. He just simply said that we've got our own problems. And it would be, if people actually heard the Russian side, the Russian point of view, a lot of his audience might be swayed. But I just want to ask a question, because you mentioned George Galloway, who was a he's Scottish. He represented, I don't know what part of Britain he represented in Parliament, but he was in Parliament for a while. But you said he was pro-Soviet. I want to ask when and in what context was he pro-Soviet? Because, you know, to be pro-Soviet, say, in 1970s, and to be pro-Soviet in 1989 or 1990 are kind of different things. How was he pro-Soviet?
Well, he is, like, publicly, you know, little quips here and there, lamented the collapse of the Soviet Union. That type of thing. He's a complete socialist. When he was over here, he did represent minorities a lot. I mean, he's not a fan of the likes of ourselves here, anti-immigration. He was very, very negative and hostile to Tommy Robinson, for example. He's very, very sort of like, you know, pro-multiculturalism and pro... You know, he's a bit of an apologist for the Muslim community, not being, you know, because he's so anti-Israel that he goes, you know, it's one of those guys where if you're anti-Israel, somehow you must love Islam and you must love mass immigration into the West of the Muslim community because of the injustice perpetrated against, some of the Muslims and particularly the Palestinians. So he's kind of, that's where he stands. But... You know, he has, you know, if you listen to him, he's on any given interview, if it comes up, he always says things positive about the Soviet Union, you know. He's very...
Are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our EaseOff is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EaseOff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You know, if you listen to him, he's on any given interview, if it comes up, he always says things positive about the Soviet Union. You know, he's very anti-American, anti-West. You know, by the way, would never mention anything to do with Jews, anti-Israel, without, you know, ever mentioning anything to do with the wider reaching destructive and subversive arm of Jewish power beyond Israel. So, I mean, I can't think of anything specific, but I mean, if you listen to him, you'll hear pro-Soviet Union stuff. And as I say, you know, I've heard him actually lament the collapse of the Soviet Union, you know?
Well, and Vladimir Putin has also lamented the collapse of the Soviet Union. And if you really... I mean...
What's your view on the Soviet Union?
Okay, so, I mean, my view of the Soviet Union is the Soviet Union went through some phases. It went through some massive convulsions. It was very different countries. You could say the Soviet Union was at least four different countries. The Soviet Union, from the Russian Revolution up until, you know, sometime around... maybe 1930 or so, it was one country. It was run by Jews. It was a Jewish country.
Yes, yes.
And the worst atrocities of the Soviet Union took place at that time. The Holodomor was a result of policies, Jewish collectivization policies, although they were carried out under Stalin, when Stalin was leader and eventually like undisputed leader of the Soviet Union. Then you had the Stalin phase, and Stalin was you could say he took over after Lenin died in 1924, but really didn't consolidate his power for several years. And then, of course, he died himself in, what was it, 53? I think it was 52 or 53. And that was a different country. And that was a country that, like, during Stalin, on the one hand, it had a very, very tight police state and people were getting thrown into the gulag and being executed in the middle of the night. You had that type of stuff going on. And, of course, then you also had World War II going on. But on the other hand, he took the country back from Jewish power and promoted Russian nationalism, even though he himself wasn't Russian. Then you had a prolonged period from, after Stalin died until the mid-80s, where it was much less repressive. It was repressive, but just it was dialed back quite a bit from the Stalinist years in terms of terror for the public. It was very bureaucratic, extremely bureaucratic. It was institutionalized. You know, a lot of people had lived their entire lives, or at least their entire adult lives, under this communist system. They were kind of used to it. And that was also the era of the Cold War. And, you know, in the Cold War, while the Russians weren't exactly the good guys, neither were the Americans, right? And so if somebody like George Galloway had pro-Soviet feelings even in, say, the 1970s, in the context of the Third World, often the Russians were the good guys, and this is why the Africans, part of the reason the Africans have better feelings about Russia than about, say, France. But then the last 7 years under Gorbachev, six years and 9 months, that's another country completely, because that's a country, the Soviet Union that broke up had a constitution that had devolved powers away from the central government, gave a lot more leeway to the republics and the regions. It also had multi-party elections. The Soviet Union had multi-party elections before it broke up. It was moving in a very, very interesting direction. And when it broke up, you know, it was a question between Gorbachev and the Soviet government that he had turned at least, democratic in terms of multi-party elections and a great deal of freedom. It was a choice between that and the unknown of Yeltsin and these various leaders of republics. And things certainly did not work out well in the aftermath of the breakup of the Soviet Union. They very, very bad for Russia for 8 years until Vladimir Putin took over. But the Ukraine never had a Putin. The Ukraine just has remained under Jewish domination.
Mm.
So I think it's very possible to lament the breakup of the Soviet Union. Who knows what would have happened? You probably would not have had the calamity of the 1990s when the Jews took over, Jewish oligarchs took over, and the life expectancy plunged, and the property, the assets of the state were privatized into Jewish hands. That probably wouldn't have happened. But then, on the other hand, you probably would have never gotten somebody like Putin to come along and
rescue the situation.
Would he have even been necessary? I don't know. So that's my feeling on the breakup of the Soviet Union. Any thoughts before we move on?
No, that's an interesting perspective. Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty complex situation, really, when you think about it, you know. But again, everything's presented in the West as black and white, you know. Well, and of course, like you said, it's like, I mean, the amount of ignorance around that part of the world in America and the West generally is staggering, you know. So many people are so ignorant and yet so arrogant and so dogmatic in their views, but they never have ever taken the time to explore or research or, you know, educate themselves in any of these things. But anyway, that seems to be human nature across the board, whatever it is. I've seen something interesting. There seems to be a bit of a, I mean, you talked about Carson and he's like demonizing China, and a lot of the Republican debates, which are very popular among Republican voters, are, you know, we've got to stop protecting Ukraine's borders and protect our own southern border, which obviously it's hard to disagree with. But it seems to be a bit of a narrative now about possible military intervention for the drug cartels in Russia. Is there any truth to that? Because I've heard little clippets where this is starting to maybe gain some traction. Is that, have you heard anything military, about that?
Military intervention where?
In Mexico, against the drug cartels. I mean, this is obviously, might well be politics in the run-up to the election, where this is seen as like something that particularly your average Republican voter would be enthusiastic about, that, you know, this fentanyl situation, which is blamed on Mexico and the cartels, and also China, largely, this would be something that they seem to be, you know, that your average Republican voter would be enthusiastic about. Let's use our military, not in Ukraine, not in faraway, you know, countries, but in Mexico. But again, it's probably something that politicians like DeSantis and others would perhaps, you know, perceive as gaining some popularity for in the run-up to the election. I don't know. I've seen some stuff about this kind of rhetoric about military intervention in Mexico. Have you heard anything about that?
Nothing serious. So very little and nothing serious. But I wouldn't be surprised if that type of discussion started to be heard in some quarters. The thing is, if you're talking about America's problems with Mexico, this can be solved by the military just simply being deployed on our side of the border. You know, honestly,
yeah, of course.
This sounds very callous, but if you had the military on the border and they actually shot some people coming across, mm-hmm. then people are going to stop coming across.
Well, it's the same in our borders as well, you know, where the instead of welcoming them and sending out boats to rescue them, if there was actually some military presence and there was a couple of casualties, yeah, of course it would deter people.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if they were able to simply physically prevent people from coming into the country without shooting them, after a while people would stop. The shortcut to that is actually to shoot people, which would work. It would work in terms of deterring, you know, people from coming into the United States. The thing is, the American public itself, you know, the Jewish media would have a field day with it. They certainly would. It would be hard to maintain public support for shooting people coming across the border. On the other hand, I mean, honestly, far fewer migrants would die if you had a policy like that, because, you know, lots of them die going across the American desert. I mean, we're constantly hearing about people suffocating in trucks that are, you know, they're coming across illegally and they're in the back of trucks and something happens and the truck
same,
gets
it's
abandoned.
The same in the UK. It's the same in the UK when they'll come across the channel occasionally. You know, the weather won't be favorable and a dinghy will collapse and you'll have a dozen of them dying, you know?
Yeah. So the idea of actually shooting people coming across the border, which would be effective and in the long run result in fewer deaths amongst migrants, certainly fewer deaths amongst Americans who are, you know, there's illegal aliens do create a lot of crime. there would be fewer deaths.
I think it's part of it. I think, yeah.
Well, I was just saying it wouldn't maintain public support. If you had an invasion of parts of Mexico, if you had actually military incursions into Mexico, which the United States has done in its history, it was doing it during World War I. There were American troops crossed the border into Mexico during World War I. Obviously, you had the Mexican-American War, so it wouldn't be unprecedented by any means. And that type of thing, you know, and it could have Mexican civilian casualties and all that. That type of thing would be able to maintain public support. It's the American.
Well, it'll be a disaster. I know.
It would be an absolute public support.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like you're talking about what happened in Iraq and Afghanistan on steroids. You know, I mean, it was a struggle at times for the United States to deal with problems there. I mean, you go into Mexico like that, it's like, especially in a climate where apparently they're worried about Russia and China militarily. Well, you send in the U.S. military into Mexico, the casualties will be enormous. And anyway, I think this is politics. You know, we have the same thing over here. Right? It's part of the playbook where these politicians and home secretaries like Priti Patel and our current Suella Braverman, because they know the climate, they often go to these extremes knowing there's going to be a backlash. So the idea, even though I think it's perfectly reasonable, of sending, you know, these immigrants to Rwanda to be processed, they knew that this is going to be seen as some sort of extreme right wing, you know, they're going to be branded as like, you know, Hitler's Germany, racist, all the rest of it. And they know there's going to be a backlash to that because they will present anything but the most obvious and common sense solution, and the solution which is the only necessary one, and which is the one that people are crying out for, is to secure your borders. You don't need to send them to Rwanda because they don't need to be here in the first place. If you secure your borders, they're not allowed to come. If you secure the borders and the southern border in the United States, why the hell do you need to be dealing with the Mexican drug cartels? It's not your problem. That's Mexico's problem to deal with. You just have to make sure that they're not coming in here and that there is no avenue for the drug cartels to be exploiting people, making a fortune off human trafficking, and to be sending all the fentanyl in. It's just a very simple solution, but they will present everything and anything apart from securing your borders, you know. And you've got Mayorkas over there, who's himself a Jew and a Cuban immigrant. And you've got our home secretaries, the last two particularly, who are themselves immigrants. In the case of Suella Braverman, she's married to a Jew. So, you know, it's the same old nonsense. Just secure the border, you know, and very simple. But they do anything but that, you know.
And, of course, the irony, I suppose, is that if you had an American military intervention in Mexico, that this would not stop immigration. And I guess it wouldn't be, the purpose of it, the stated purpose would be probably to stop fentanyl. But it would, I'm sure it would massively increase Mexican immigration into the United States. When you had American military like proxy wars, not even direct intervention, but you had proxy wars and you had the CIA in the 1980s operating in Central America, El Salvador, for instance. What happened? El Salvador, at least one quarter of its population has moved to the United States, probably close to a third. And people like George Galloway will justify that. They'll say, well, America, you know, they ruined...
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Central American countries, so they have to take these refugees. And you would have a massive chorus of women and liberals and Jews and socialists and whatnot saying, well, we've ruined Mexico. People who are opposed to the war for perfectly good reasons, but then are going to be they're going to be vulnerable to this whole, well, we wrecked it, so now we have to let these people in our countries. So,
we get this constantly here as well. I mean, every time there's a war in the Middle East and it's recognized by the usual suspects that you just mentioned, it's like we deserve it. It's like, I heard Joe Talenti one time talking about it as, payback sucks. Well, we never voted for these wars, but we always have to pay the price. You would think that it was, your average British or German person who was demanding these wars for their own interest, but it's more often than not, it's the complete opposite. But yet, it's apparently payback. Well, there never seems to be any payback for those who are actually responsible for it,
Right, right. Yeah, and that's just been the story of our lifetime.
Sadly.
Especially in terms of foreign policy, but in terms of a lot of other things, that something is done for, not for American interests, but for Jewish interests. You know, you have a war, it's for Jewish interests, and then Americans or Britons or white people get blamed for it, and then we have to accept the punishment. You know, so a Jewish oligarchy commits the crime, and then the to the extent that there's punishment, it's the white native people who are punished.
And demographically, economically, culturally, every way.
We're not allowed to mention it. We're not allowed to notice it.
No. And so the Jews commit two crimes, you know. And there's always, you know, the initial crime that they commit, and then you have the secondary, in quote, payback, also serves the Jewish interest, you know. I mean, they're a total wrecking ball, but anyway.
They are a wrecking ball. We're coming close to the end of the show. You have your show on RBN. What time is your show? When can people find your show?
4 p.m. UK time, so that's 10 a.m. Central and 11 p.m. Eastern time.
All right, good. Okay, any final thoughts before we wrap it up?
No, well, except that it'll be, you know, it'll be really fascinating to see if that interview with, you know, Carson and Putin comes to fruition, because, I mean, you're going to see the Western media, if they thought interviewing Trump was bad, and the sort of, I mean, literally people on CNN, the irony of talking about, you know, being pro-Putin and anti-American, well, I can, it's going to be very, very interesting, and, you know,
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know shilajit by other names: shilajit, momio, momi, mami, mineral pitch, asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.